Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
105.3 FM HD2. This is Tom Fitzmaurice with the second course of The Food Show. It's a program about, well, I'll let you guess. And we'd love to have you on our program and share your thoughts about what tastes good, what tastes not so good, what you found that is really delicious. Did you hear that little piece of news there about restaurants being on decline because people are saving
money?
Well,
not yet. Not yet. Their New Year's resolution is to save money on pleasurable expenses, is how I would describe it.
So,
that bodes badly. Well, yes, I know, Tom. You could definitely do some serious damage to the restaurant business, just your own self, because Tom does eat out every meal.
Well, trust me, every meal. You got to get through this stuff one way or another.
Yeah. Anyway.
We're punching along here. We have had a few things to say about the Battle of New Orleans, which is being celebrated today by people who know what it is and had any thoughts about it. This is Volavante, which is just delightful to me.
And you don't like
from now
them.
On, every time I do something with oysters, I'll do it that. Oh, by the way, a couple of nights ago, my daughter was coming in from picking up. Well, it's complicated. But anyway, we were looking for a Chinese restaurant, and there was one we found, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of it.
Oh, yeah, that's something that we did. Yeah, okay, well, let me go ahead and report on some dining that I did getting me back to town, okay? Because, and then we'll talk about the Chinese meal that we had when everybody picked me up from the airport.
The reason I bring that up at all is that the dish that I had at this Chinese place,
it was called Little Chinatown in Kenner.
Little Chinatown, that is the place.
Yeah.
And I'm still looking at this this dish that I got. It was jam packed with oysters that had boiled in a big pot on top of the
It was a
restaurant.
Hot pot.
A hot pot. That's exactly.
It was a clay hot pot, is what they called it.
Yeah.
And
well,
people
it was,
who go to this restaurant probably know it.
Yeah, I've heard of it, but this is the first chance I had to actually go there, and they were putting this together with tofu to finish it off, and it was very interesting, very good, and very inexpensive. I think the bunch of us sitting there got away with like $50 or something.
Is that right? Well, I know that. I took an earlier flight, so that meant that instead of getting in at like midnight, I got in at 6:30 in the evening. So we went over to Little Chinatown because we were already out in Kenner.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm going to go there a couple more things because it looks like they've got a lot going on.
They do have a
restaurant.
Lot going on. And that's the people that it was funny that we went to Little Chinatown because while I was in L.A., I went to Din Tai Fung, which is a Michelin-starred dumpling house. What?
My son, Jude, he is wild about that stuff.
Everyone is wild about Din Tai Fung. Yeah. The wait is chronically over an hour at all locations. But anyway, I was surprised that we were going to Little Chinatown because I wanted to see if they were doing the dumplings there because that is the family that has Dian Xin in the Quarter, which is a dumpling house mm-hmm. that has gotten a lot of note this year.
If you can ever get into it, that's another one that's
well, it's a little
hard,
tiny
hard
space. It's a little tiny space. But as it turns out, the family that did Little Chinatown has moved on to Jianshin and sold Little Chinatown to another family member. So it's kind of the same thing, but not really the same thing. And so they've moved on to Jianshin. Let's go to Ron, the gourmet waiter, who was kind enough to sit in my chair on Monday. How are you, Ron? Thank you for doing that.
You're welcome. It's always my pleasure to be a guest host, especially when I'm able to be in the studio with Tom.
It was magical.
I fooled another one, huh?
What did you all talk about?
Also, we talked about top five lists.
Mm-hmm. Meaning?
We had top five lost restaurants, the restaurants that are no longer here.
Okay.
Top five Italian near the French Quarter.
Uh-huh.
Top five Italian outside of the French Quarter.
Uh-huh.
Top five overall restaurants, and Scott Craig's second favorite topic to talk about, your death meal. If you only had one meal left, what would it be?
Mine would be chocolate. And what was that? What kind of calls did you get on that? Your death meal.
We had a couple of gourmet meals put together, but then the cherry on top was we actually did Marianne Fitzmaurice's two-question hamburger quiz, which Tom refused to answer because he said that there were just too many candidates.
Oh my goodness.
At the end of the show, I said, okay, if Marianne Fitzmaurice could pick her top hamburger place that's no longer here, what would it be?
Oh,
and then her top hamburger place that still exists.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a blast. And as always, Doug behind the glass was a magician.
He is. He is that.
But we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds like you did. What a great what a great bunch of topics. So what was the answer to the Marianne question? Because Marianne doesn't even have the answer.
Which one?
I'm not so sure. We may have to think about that.
Yeah, that's interesting. And what was the death? What was the death meal? What was the favorite meal?
We had a couple. I think I went with filet mignon. With garlic mashed potatoes, cream spinach, and a terrific bottle of Cabernet Sauvignon.
No, that does sound pretty good, I have to say. Maybe pizza.
And then Tom was 100% on his dessert, and I know you can guess what that would be.
Bread pudding.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Although Tom is very, very high on flan, but don't say that or you'll get him going on flan in Mexican restaurants and the marvel that that all is.
Yeah, listen, get a load of this.
No, Tom,
everybody shut up a second here. It's truly amazing. If you go to any restaurant that has a kitchen that is basically...
Help me, someone.
When you're looking for
basically
Mexican...
sum this up, Tom is marveling that all Mexican restaurants have flan.
Well, everyone I ever go to, I they come over and ask. They never ask me for this dessert or any other dessert for that matter. But I say, do you have any flan? I say, I'll have some flan, and they always look at me for about a tenth of a second, and they say yes, and they get up, and about 0.2 seconds they are back. With the flan in their hands, how is it possible? This is my question. I'm happy as can be because I love flan.
My question is, why is that such a marvel to you, Tom?
Well,
that's my question.
Think that's something. Let me tell you about the
Ron, I'm so glad that you put so much effort into the show. Thank you so much. That was that's a great bunch of chat subjects. For sure.
We had a great time. Thank you again. It's always my pleasure.
All right.
Great show. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you. It's
all
a
right.
Good
boy,
show.
I want to play that game myself, all those questions. Anyway, back to the dumplings. So we went to Little Chinatown and we had Mary Lee got fried rice, which did not look good, but actually tasted pretty good. And then I had what did I get? I was going to get like a hot pot of short ribs, but that seemed like a bad idea at a Chinese restaurant. I don't even remember what I got. I know that Mary Lee got a chicken with chili sauce. Oh, I know what I got. I got duck. I love Chinese duck. I love crispy Chinese duck. I did not like this duck at all. It was tough and undercooked and very disappointing. Very, very disappointing. So much so that I had two bites of the whole half duck. And I felt bad about that. But Trey Yen has a great version of that crispy duck, but this was not one of those things. But the thing that most intrigued me on the table was your hot pot, Tom. Two things that intrigued me. One, it was an oyster and tofu hot pot.
Oyster and tofu, that's right. It had more than a few other things in it.
Well, it had vegetables. It had carrots and celery brimming out of the top, and there was a little, it was served in a pot that was over a flame.
Yeah,
and this portended to be a disaster at our table, but as it turned out, it was not. It was okay. There was no flame that went all over the place. But it was pretty good. I mean, it was not great, but it was pretty good. It was definitely below expectations for me because I've heard great things about that restaurant, and I thought it was pretty ordinary. I mean, other than the menu was kind of interesting, but. Anyway,
tell them the name of it again so they're going to want to know.
Little Chinatown.
Little Chinatown.
I pitched Fiery Crab, but we had a definite no vote from Mary Lee on that. And I really do want to go back to Fiery Crab at some point. If anyone has been there, I'd like a report on it. 260-6368. But we went to, in California, we went to Din Tai Fung, which is a total experience. And mainly in volume eating. It's I don't mean the volume at your table, but just in the sheer numbers of people wanting to also eat at Din Tai Fung. At any hour that they are open. Any hour that they are open. There is a mall, the Century City Mall, which has been redone, which is just a fantastically incredible mall. And I'm not one for malls. It's not really my thing, but I really dig this mall. And first of all, it's an open air mall. It's California. It's Beverly Hills. You know, it's what's not to love. So anyway, Eataly is also in that mall. And so we put our name in at Din Tai Fung and then went over to Eataly, which was having a sale. And I put that in quotes because Eataly does not have much of a sale. They don't. Eataly is expensive.
I find them kind of expensive.
It is. It's expensive, period.
But the gang of people we sent over to that part of the world, they just spill it up.
No, I love going to Eataly. I love shopping at Eataly, but I don't really spend a lot of money. But what they have at Eataly is, and this is the Mario Batali place, which imports everything from Italy. And there are rows and rows of pastas in all shapes and sizes and configurations made with the real Italian, I guess it's durum wheat semolina.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's all different varieties. It's all expensive. They have a whole couple of aisles of sauces and oils, all of which are imported and all expensive. And so they were having a spaghetti weekend where they had all this stuff on sale. And again, put it in quotes because it's Eataly, but I did buy several packages of spaghetti, which was an Italian variety, which is I'm curious about. And with the sale price, it was like $2 for a pack of spaghetti, which is kind of what you could get at Rouse's, you know. Unfortunately, I spent about 40 minutes in security coming home because one of the pasta shapes confused and alarmed the people in security. And so it was so busy at the airport and I wound up literally like 40 minutes waiting for my bag to be inspected. And they pulled it out and I went, it was that, the pasta? And they said, yeah, it looked kind of weird on the monitor. So my big score at Eataly cost me about 40 minutes in security trying to come home. Anyway, but that's
another reason to stay in Louisiana and New Orleans so you can enjoy yourself instead of non-enjoying yourself.
Yes. And so I didn't get to eat at Eataly. We went to Din Tai Fung instead. So the next night, I did want to go back and have some pasta at Eataly. And it was the night of the Golden Globes. And the Golden Globes are always at the Beverly Hilton Hotel, which, if you have ever seen it, is total mid-century 60s Californian. And it's a cool hotel, but that's where they've been forever. And so the road in front of it was closed. And the mall is about, I don't know, 5 or 6 blocks toward the ocean from there. And I'll finish the story about what happens at the Golden Globes, because I got a firsthand look when I was waiting to get my pasta. 260-6368 is the number. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM, HD2.
Hey, it's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. And with us today is, what's her name? It's Mary A.
The wife, I think. That works.
You're the wife?
Yeah. Oh. Anyway, so I'm driving. I'm back to the story. So I'm driving to the Century City Mall past what is the street. It's Santa Monica in front of the Beverly Hilton. But you have to go to another. There's like 2 Santa Monicas. It's weird. But anyway, so you have to go to the other Santa Monica because it's not blocked off. And it was really interesting to watch. There are lines. There's like a special line of cars coming. They're all black SUVs, which I guess is what the celebrities come in. But every single one of the SUVs has to stop, and a dog jumps in to the back trunk. Looking for who knows what. I don't know what they're looking for. But anyway, every single one of those black SUVs had to be inspected by a dog. There were dogs everywhere. But that was kind of an interesting little twist to the visit to Eataly that evening, because that's, of course, as close as I got to it. But there were barricades everywhere. But it was just kind of fun to be down there, because there were at different hotels you would see. And this started like in the afternoon. We passed the Four Seasons in Beverly Hills, and there were, you know, people lined out and paparazzi waiting to see who was there. And I can't imagine anyone being in the Beverly Hills Four Seasons, because it's really not that great of a hotel. But anyway, it was just kind of fun to watch. I didn't realize that the Golden Globes were there that early, but they were. Anyway, we can go to Mike, who is on the phone. Hi, Mike.
Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Step up.
You made me think of a story about when you told about bringing pasta home and going through security.
Yeah.
When I first hooked up with the woman who is now my wife, she had a condo down in Cancun.
Uh-huh.
And I had never been to Cancun before, so obviously I had never gone through customs before.
Uh-oh.
When you go through customs, you get to a point where there's a button that you push. And if you push the button and you get a green light, you go straight through. If you get a red light, they check your carry-on baggage.
Mm-hmm.
So the woman opens up my bag, and what do I have in there but a bottle of Arnaud's Romelade sauce?
Well, you know, if anything were going to get you through, it would have been that.
Well, she got fixated on it, okay? So she looks at me with the bottle of Arnaud's Romelade sauce in her hand. She goes, "What's this?" And there's a guy standing to the side. And he goes, "Barbecue?" And stupid me, instead of rolling with barbecue, I try to start explaining what Romelade sauce is.
Uh-huh.
Did it make it, or they took it?
No, it made it. You know, they're just doing their job. You know, it was no big deal. Mm-hmm. But it was like, okay, I just should have said, yeah, barbecue. It's barbecue sauce.
Yeah, but that's a liquid, and I'm surprised that it went through, because while I was standing there for my 40 minutes waiting for my pasta, somebody got their hot sauce taken away.
Well, I'm trying to remember what the protocol is. It could have been maybe I had already retrieved my luggage and I was going through customs with my luggage. I don't really remember.
Well, how long has the woman who is now your wife been your wife?
We've been together 10 years and we've been married 7.
Okay, so then those policies were in play back then.
No, what I'm saying is I could be wrong that it was not on my carry. It's really incidental to the story anyway.
Yeah.
They
She just didn't recognize it. That's all it was.
Yeah.
She just didn't recognize
well,
it.
Well, you know, some people don't know the difference between white remoulade and red remoulade. I mean, they just they
I'm
don't
sure
get
that
it.
Would have made all the difference. Yeah.
I'd say before you head to the airport, go to Toujags. You need to do.
I got two comments about your experience at the restaurant with the dumplings and all.
Yes. Wait, didn't I follow or the other one? The local the one?
No, the one in L.A.
Yeah, uh-huh.
When I went to San Francisco with her like 3 years in a row, and the first year we went to dim sum at a Chinese restaurant, and it was a mob scene.
Yeah, was it Yang Sing? Was it Yang Sing?
I honestly don't remember.
Okay, uh-huh.
But what I do remember is they were pushing the dumplings big time.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
And no matter how good dumplings are, there comes a point when you've had enough dumplings, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You want to move on to something else.
Yeah,
you know?
Uh-huh.
And
that happened to me, too. I was just, it seemed like I had ingested about 7 or 8 different kinds of steaming pasta with different things in them. And after, you know, 2 or 3 of them, I just couldn't stand another one. It's so bland to begin with.
And eating all that pasta fills you up. You know, you're there to have a variety. Now, one final thing. I was really curious about the string bean dish you had out there.
Yes.
So much so that I Googled it, and I think I found it.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like it's a garlic-flavored string bean.
It is.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It looks pretty good.
It's divine. Divine. It is. Yeah. I've never... ever had string beans like that, and they are good.
We eat a lot of them around here, so that'll be a nice variation on the theme. You know?
Yeah, we'll try. Maybe you could find out the recipe if you do. Let me have it, okay?
All right.
Happy
New Year.
You too. Bye bye. Let's go to Kenneth.
Mm-hmm. Kenneth, welcome to the Flow Show.
Hi.
Hi there.
Thank you for having me.
We love to have people.
Yeah.
I mean, wait a minute. I better rephrase that.
Yes. Thank you. I have a question about crawfish boudin.
Okay.
I've got some in a bag, some raw crawfish, some uncooked crawfish boudin, and I've never made boudin before, and there's supposedly it's really simple, and there's only like 300 or 400 different ways to cook it. So, I mean, I don't want to get too extreme, but I was thinking of doing the baking method on a baking sheet for about half of it and the steaming for the other half.
Mm-hmm.
Or the not exactly steaming, but, you know, boiling in water or whatever.
No, don't do that.
Of the nature of that kind of sausage is that the best way to cook it, no kidding, and I don't recommend this for very many utensils, but microwave oven. But before you put it in the microwave oven, you get a fork and you pierce the outside all the way around. Not hugely, but quite a bunch of little open spots. You put it in the microwave oven. Start
it
at a low
temp.
And it'll blow up if you have too much and you leave it in there too long. But what comes out afterwards is just right on the money for me.
Well, I'm going to give you another one because I would say that if you have a grill, I would put it on a grill and add some smoky flavor to it. Or I would put it in an oven and broil it because it makes the skin really, really crispy. And it's easier to eat if it's crispy, I think.
Okay.
If you're looking for me to controvert. I know better.
It's two people with two opinions. That's all. You know, try them both.
Well, right. Everybody, like I said, there's only like 400 different opinions.
Yeah. I sure wouldn't boil it, though, because that doesn't seem... It seems like it would come apart in the pot.
I mean, put it in like... Supposedly in like a half an inch of water and half an hour or something like you do when you buy it in the stores.
Yeah.
Right.
I like crispy skin. I think it's easier to eat.
And how long does one broil this for?
Well, I mean, I would just look and see when it looks like it's got a brown on it, you know, like a brown crusty kind of thing. I mean, I'm into crust, so, you know, you have to take that into consideration. But I would broil it. It would probably be a pretty fast broil, you know, 10, 15 minutes and, you know, turn it once and then it would get like a little brown crusty thing going and then crispy skin and you could bite into it easily. And I don't know, that seems like a good idea.
Yeah.
Then I'm off to the Boudin adventure then.
Yes. Tell us about it tomorrow. Call us and give us the report. Okay.
Try one, try one microwave.
Crawfish boudin sounds good.
Oh yeah, that's this is the, not exactly the time of year just yet, but it will be coming
just
soon.
Yeah, there's a season for it.
Crawfish,
it's year round in Louisiana.
Yeah. I know, right? Like crawling season or something, you know?
No, no season. It's all the time. Boudin's such a wonderful thing, isn't it? Is this something new that you've you've had boudin, right?
Yes, but somebody gave me a big, like, 3-pound frozen package of
Of crawfish boudin?
Well, yeah.
Oh, that sounds good.
You know what? They didn't want to cook it, and they'll let me cook it because I'll try anything.
Okay. You know what I've decided? You know, to me, here's how I do boudin now. Boudin, to me, is now a basis for gumbo. So if you have like a if you have a chicken andouille gumbo, and you slit you know, the skin of a cooked boudin and make that your rice, it adds a whole different punch to a soup. Yeah. Or if you had like a just think about this, if you had like a crawfish corn bisque. And you put the crawfish boudin in there. That would be good. You know, think about boudin as a support of a soup also.
I had a really nice shrimp corn bisque at Drago's in Metairie the other day. It was one of the best bisques I've ever had.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
You really can vary all of this.
It's good stuff.
There's a lot of room for tweaking.
You know, I was in California last week, and we went to one of those typical California restaurants, and it was, you know, the home of the kale salad and the roasted potatoes and the grilled salmon and the really healthy stuff. And all I could think about is the creamy corn bisques and stuff that I would get when I went home. You know, it's just a whole different way of eating. It just really is. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, it's
okay.
Very,
thanks for the advice.
Important.
I'll let you know.
All right. Yeah.
Out.
Give us a report. All right. 260-6368 is the number. You are listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
It's the food show. Where else in America could you possibly have a food show and have it work? Well, it's working. And I'm glad you're here to talk about food in your life, or the things that you've had to drink, or anything that enhances your lifestyle. It's at least it works for me. I love dining. I love thinking about it, writing about it. And if you want to talk about any of that, you are welcome. Don't hesitate for a moment, and we'll cover it all. If we don't know the answer to something, we're going to put the question mark out there and see what we can turn up.
So
or you can go backwards the other way, and we'd love to hear from you any way it is. Our number is 260-6368, 260-6368, and beep, 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 beep.
All right, so back to Eataly.
I don't know what that was for. But
so when I went to get the pasta, Eataly has their big sale. They had walls and walls of panettone. They had several different kinds of panettone. And I'm thinking, how in the world are they going to get rid of those? Because panettone is not good. And obviously enough people know that. So we were in the line because Eataly has several places you can eat. They have this or that restaurant, and they have a fish restaurant, and they have a gourmet, and they have a pasta place, and they have a salad place. Anyway, there's this Altaglio pizza slice. You know, you slice it across like the one here at Bonchi. Anyway, I'm in line, and there's like mini panettones in front. And I said to my son, whose wife had picked up a panettone on sale to buy it, and I said, she should get the little one because panettone is not very good. And the girl behind the counter says, boy, is that true? It's not very good. So I don't know how long it's going to take them to get rid of those panettones. Let's go to Steven. Hi, Steven.
Hey, welcome back, Gracie. We missed you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I will say that Allie is picking up on you on keeping Tom in line.
Well, she's Tom's girlfriend. Don't tell anyone.
Okay. Okay, well, if you can have Mr. Besh, I guess he can have Allie.
There you go. There you go.
Bet you haven't heard that in a while.
I haven't heard that in a really long time. You're right about that. Anyway, so how are you? How was your Happy New Year? Was it a Happy New Year?
It was good. It was quiet. I was home in my bed. You know, I spent 17 years managing bars on Bourbon Street. So I've seen my fair share of amateur night.
I'm sure you have, yes.
So I think I was in bed at 7 o'clock. Or,
oh, my goodness.
You know, in the bed, maybe not asleep. And then I woke up at, you know, a little before midnight with firecrackers going off. I didn't go out and see it. I can see the fireworks from the river perfectly from my house.
Oh, that's great. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I live over across the street from Martin Brothers.
Yeah, you mentioned that before. Yeah. Well, it was quiet on the North Shore. They love to blow up their money on the North Shore. And you talk about amateur fireworks people. There's like a haze. And it was quiet. It was really quiet. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, my neighbors have to go out and sweep the street up in the morning. There's so many firecracker, you know, leftovers.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Did Martha Stewart also buy the Naked Chef?
I don't know. I don't keep up with her that. She's the bane of my existence, so I don't follow her that much. I don't know what she's up to. I just know that she bought Emerald for what I thought was a surprisingly small amount.
Yeah.
It was like $50 million.
Yeah, because he's on her new channel.
Yes.
And he has a half an hour, three course meal that he prepares.
Is this current day? I mean, this is something he does current day, or is this old stuff that's being rerun?
I think he is current day.
Is it really?
You know,
okay.
He's had some real financial problems. He's gone bankrupt with all of his restaurants in England.
Oh, I didn't know he had restaurants in England. Really?
Yeah, he had a bunch of restaurants in England, and I think they all folded up.
Really? Okay. Interesting. How long ago was that?
Within the last year.
Oh. Hmm.
Maybe less than that I heard that on one of the talk shows.
You know, I can't see Louisiana food over there. I just don't see it. It's just not something. It's not the way they eat, you know? I mean, this is a unique cuisine for sure. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But he's doing a pretty good job with these half an hour meals where he cooks as a salad and an entree with a vegetable and a dinner. Like last night he made, I think it was raspberry yogurt for dessert that he made in just a few minutes and popped it in the freezer and it was ready at the end of the half an hour.
Well, who's the naked whatever? Who's that? I'm sorry, I don't know.
There's that guy. He's British himself. He's been doing
that he's English.
Years and years.
What, the naked guy? What's his name?
Yeah.
Well,
naked guy.
He's not naked, but I don't know why they call him naked. But
well, the pronunciation is local. Around here, it's naked.
Naked chef. Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I mean, he's relatively young. I mean, I would say he's 35 now, and I think when he came into, it was 10 years ago or so he was in his early 20s.
Ah, I see. Okay. Okay,
anyway,
Stephen, you're always a wealth
I
of information.
Tom, I got something to ask Tom. How does he store his potatoes at home?
How do I store potatoes?
Yeah.
I don't. I buy as many as I'm going to use and use them all.
Stephen, we don't ever cook. New Year's Eve was the first time we cooked, and I can't remember how long.
Okay.
But the refrigerator is actually full. That's a New Year's resolution for my daughter and me. We're going to eat better. So, anyway.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't put potatoes in the refrigerator.
Well, I tell you what you should put in the refrigerator, avocados. And I thank you all for telling me that because I'm still eating those 16 avocados. Yeah. Thank you, Martha. All right.
Yeah. And did you get what Tom's favorite dessert is?
Yes. Well, okay. His favorite dessert is Spumoni. His favorite dessert is Spumoni.
Yeah. No, well, it's amazing. You know, I listen to my car radio, and it will operate for a half an hour, and then it will shut off. And every time I'm out of the car, today I was pulling weeds between my brick sidewalks, and just the time he asked if, you know, if you knew what Tom's favorite dessert was, the radio died. And by the time I get off my 5-gallon bucket and get to the car to turn it back on, I've missed
It's bread pudding.
Pudding.
All right.
I knew that, but I didn't know whether you knew that.
Oh, of course I knew that. Listen, 30 years, I know a few things. All right. Talk to you later, Stephen.
You know, it's very peculiar to do this show today because she is not here in the room where I am.
Thank God.
And I'm always assuming that there is somebody from
Tom, there's Paul on the let's go to Paul.
Okay, why not? But Paul, welcome to the food show.
Thank you. Good evening, Tom. Marianne, how you doing?
Hey.
Rolling right along. Hi. Thank you for calling.
You know, there's an old saying in show business, don't ever follow children or dog acts. I'm thinking Stephen should be included in
that's
that.
Right.
But anyway.
Yeah. Grasshoppers and snakes, too. Snakes are really not popular.
Yes. Go ahead, Paul.
Mm-hmm. Two quick things. I don't know if you guys covered it before or not. Semolina pasta, Italian pasta.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
A lot of people who have
gluten allergy,
what they describe as gluten intolerance.
Right, yeah.
A lot of people find if they tried Italian pastas, they might not have any issues.
Yes, it's totally different. It's totally different.
Well, I think a big part of it is the glyphosate and the Roundup. It's a whole other story, but they don't have the chemicals that we do here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everything's a lot more real.
Yeah. Well, less ingredients, better, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, and also, I have a feeling I'm going to be disappointed by the answer. But have you had a Mexican Coke yet?
Yes.
Mexican Coke?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we talked about
the kind that doesn't have
Yeah, in Mexico, yes. Uh-huh.
With cane sugar.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Without all the chemicals.
Okay,
yes.
It was a long time ago, so I don't remember it. But you know what's funny? I saw it at Eataly.
If I remember right, every time I've ever read anything about this, it seemed to indicate that they didn't have it at all in Mexico.
No, they do. They definitely
they do.
They've got it in the glass bottles, like the old deposit return.
It's a different color, though. It's a different color. I think it's like a green color.
That's the bottle.
Yeah, I mean the carton. The carton is like a green. I literally saw it in California, and I think it was at Eataly. There were two Cokes. One was, because I looked really hard in case it was the cinnamon Coke. I was going to bring one to Tom. But one was like a regular Coke, and one was Mexican with the sugar, with the cane sugar. Yes.
And the last one was the Dr. Pepper.
Yes.
Well,
I want to say,
all difference in the world.
I want to say here and now, Delta is now serving whole grain Cheez-Its on their flights, and I object. Go ahead.
We have some here.
The only time I ever eat Cheez-Its and Coke ever is on a flight, and now they've taken that away from me. All right, go ahead.
But anyway, I guess it was about 6 months, maybe a year ago, we were talking about the difference in the taste of Coke. And
yeah.
When they went to the new Coke and then back to the plastic.
Oh, yeah.
That was all just a bluff to be able to get
exactly
high fructose corn sweetener in. But if you live up in Michigan now, and we've got a lot of Mexican grocery stores around here, and they've got the glass bottles from Mexico of Fanta Orange and Coke and 7-Up. It tastes like it did when I was a child.
Yeah.
If you get a chance to again to find the place that's got the returnable bottles, to do yourself a favor, it will bring back childhood memories, I promise.
Okay. Mm. All right.
All right.
All right, thanks, Paul,
well,
for
good
calling.
Luck with that.
And thanks for listening in Michigan. All right, let's go to Gregory.
Gregory,
Happy
welcome
New
to the
Year.
Food Show.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Right. Oh, you're really impressed by that Beverly Hills Hotel, are you?
Who, me?
Yeah, I was wondering. It sounded like you were.
I wasn't talking about the Beverly Hills, because the Beverly Hills Hotel is a couple more blocks up the
expensive
way. Yeah. Are you the Beverly
Hilton. The Beverly Hilton.
Yes. Okay, yes. They do.
Yes.
There's two completely different hotels.
Right. Tom, I am aware of that.
Don't listen to Tom. He's just complaining. Go ahead.
I'm a big fan of the old Beverly Hills Hotel because Merv Griffin really put a lot of money into that thing.
Yes, he did.
He certainly. It was designed in the 1920s.
It's a very cool place. Yes.
Arthur Godfrey too.
Yes.
Godfrey, he had a lot to do with it, but nobody really liked him on the radio.
Nobody really liked him, period. Except Tom. He's kind of like Tom's idol. But once we were at the Beverly Hills Hotel,
and
Tom was determined to find the bungalow where he hid out all the time.
I can't believe why he got any famous at all. I mean,
well, there's a lot to be said of that, believe me.
Yeah, but
there's a lot of people in those black SUVs with the dogs jumping in the back to inspect, too. You got to wonder about, you know.
Listen, all the people in the black SUVs are the people, these celebrities, these millionaire producers and actresses and actors telling us how to live.
Yeah.
Are you talking about us?
No. Let me tell you what. There's a lot of that. You know.
It's ridiculous living in California as long as I did. Not L.A., but I was in San Diego. But my ex-wife and my daughter are from the Redondo Beach area, as locals, they feel the same way I do. They can't stand the Hollywood lifestyle. They can't. And these people are such hypocrites.
Oh, they are. They absolutely are. But I tell you what, when I left.
When it comes to food, too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
They will tell you what to eat, but they're having filet mignon. I guarantee it.
When I left, it was a perfect 70 degrees, beautiful sunshine. Yeah. So
you could have fixed that.
You know, there's still something to be said for it anyway.
No, Southern California is beautiful, but it's being corrupted by a bunch of people that are trying to tell us how to live while they scoop in millions of dollars a year.
That's true. But that's not for this show, Gregory. Don't get me in trouble. I've only been back 45 minutes. I mean, an hour and 45 minutes.
It has something to do about food, Marianne.
Yes.
I didn't mean to make it that way.
Agreed. Agreed. Doug is saying Maureen is on, so I got to get going. Thank you, Gregory. Don't get me in trouble. Bye. Talk to you later. Bye. All right, Maureen, hello.
Hey, Tom and Marianne.
Hey.
Been listening for 20 years.
Oh, my gosh.
No kidding. That's not long enough because we've been on the air for 30
love it
something.
All the time.
Well, thank you very much for that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you listen to it on
HD2
or
a few times?
Mm-hmm.
He probably didn't write back though, did he?
Appreciate that.
Oh, he did. Okay, because he usually doesn't.
I know, right? That's crazy, Marianne, right? So, I was in New Orleans this last weekend and went to the oyster counter.
Which one?
The oyster counter, Legacy, right around from Gravier.
Oh, the oyster counter at Legacy? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about. Okay. Uh-huh.
Yep. And it was awesome and had some oysters and really a great hamburger and french fries. Mm. So love that.
Where
and
are
I live
you?
In Hammond.
I was about to say, where are you talking from now? Mm-hmm. Okay, so Hammond.
Yeah.
All right.
Uh-huh. I live in Hammond, right? And one of my favorite restaurants here is Lee's Diner.
Don't know it. Where is it?
Well, Lee's Diner.
You have to go. It's right down the main drag in Hammond.
Oh, okay.
And it's an old-fashioned diner.
Uh-huh.
Not too far from Jacmel.
Okay, we love Jacmel.
About 2 miles from Jacmel. Mm-hmm. And you got to go there and check
Lee's
it out.
Lee's Diner.
I mean,
okay.
Lee's Diner.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I don't know if you've been to Streetside Market in Hammond.
Okay. Now, is that the place that is right next door to 113?
It is. Yeah. Very close.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very close.
I have not been. No.
Yeah. Well, you have to go. I mean, it's in the old Ford Motor built where they used to sell cars.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm.
Huh.
And,
is this like a food market or something?
Yes,
okay.
It is, right?
I have to try that. All right.
There's seafood, there's Italian, there's pizza,
okay.
There's deli.
Huh.
That's where they sell beignets, too, from
okay.
Not Café du Monde, but...
Morning Call?
Yes,
uh-huh.
Right, yes, Morning
okay.
Call.
Hmm.
And Asian food, and it is so awesome. I mean...
Well, you know, Hammond is changing. I mean, the university has gotten massive, and
mm-hmm.
And Hammond is changing a lot.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Very progressive. I mean,
yeah.
We've done a lot of good things. Now, I do have to ask a question.
Do it.
Ask.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the podcasts?
Ah.
Oh, this is the question that hurts me the most. We never get a
flood of emails on this subject and have no answer.
Okay.
They're in the ether somewhere.
All right.
Miracles.
Okay, so
we need miracles.
It's not me. Right?
It's not you. No, it is not you.
Okay.
All right.
It is not you. It is not us. It is not Doug who puts them up. Doug still puts them up, don't you, Doug?
Okay.
And he says corporate does not release them. I don't know why that is.
All right. Well, Doug, are you figuring that out?
No, Doug is not. He doesn't care.
This is way above my pay grade.
Maybe
he's tuned out. He doesn't care.
maybe Tom, you're figuring that out, right?
Yeah. No, actually, I'm trying to decide... what is the official fish for today?
Oh,
over
gosh.
There in Halifax.
Oh, my gosh. Here we go.
Somewhere.
Thank you, Doug. I love it. This is a new way we can do it, Doug. I'll be in the studio, and when Tom goes down the Halifax Trail, you can just pipe his mic down. I love it. Okay. I think he's gone. No, I'm going to try. I want to try that market. I've heard a lot about that market, and I'm not a fan of 113. How about you?
Have not been there yet.
Yeah.
I mean, I've looked at the reviews online, but
What are they? They're good, aren't they?
I know they have that oven, right?
Yeah, I don't care for the place, but I think the reviews are probably good. I don't know. But anyway, I mean, it's very cool. There's no two ways about it. I tell you what, it's a great date place. If I was on a date with somebody I like, because you know you have to clarify
that.
You know,
gosh, I hope it's somebody.
You have to clarify that. So if you're on a date with someone,
like somebody, if you're going on a date, well, maybe not.
Actually,
right?
Not. I've had a lot of really bad dates. So
yeah, me too. Right? Yeah.
So if you're on a date with someone you like, it's a great place to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very cool. All right.
All right.
Thank
you
for calling.
Thank you for the call. Yes. Appreciate you both.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right. Did you pod Doug? Doug, did you pod him back up? Because he does have to sign off on his own show. Okay, Tom, are you going to behave? Because you have to sign off. Yeah.
Behave to what?
You have half a minute to sign off on your own show.
Oh, I see.
Doug had to take matters into his own hands when you were misbehaving.
Well, we are about to end our program for today.
Yes, we are.
Only about a minute, but it feels like we've been here for a whole afternoon. It's been so much fun, and having everybody over here and talking about all the good tastes and all the
give my baby
all the
a
even
hug.
Better tastes.
Give my puppy a hug. That's how you know that I'm over in the studio and not at the home studio, because the dog would be panting while I pet him, but he's not, because he's not here. Have a great evening, everyone. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a great meal. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM, HD2. Good night.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.